If you're going to be playing around with the world and trying to be serious with God at the same time, you're going to meet with great resistance. To be an effective Christian, it's going to take everything you have. That's why Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What part of all does not mean all? And so he continues, he says, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of Ephesians. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Today on Cross Reference Radio, Pastor Rick will continue teaching through Ephesians chapter 5.
He says, to be discreet, to be chaste, homemakers. Ooh, evil homemakers. The university said it so. Let's all go bow down to the universities then. All of us, let's get a bus and go to the universities and bow down to their wisdom. You won't find me in that number. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little hot here because so many people believe it. Christians get out of the church and they go to the universities. They pay for instruction on how to leave the simple things of God's word. They pay for it. Homemakers. This is not a more honorable position on earth. There may be as honorable positions, but there is none more good. Oh no, let's don't be good. Let's don't be chaste. Let's don't be discreet. You see, of course, through absurdity, I'm trying to highlight the importance of these instructions. Because when these things break down, people are going to pay. Lives are going to suffer, and they should not. Forgetting those things which are in the past, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. If you're sitting here this morning, you're saying, I'm guilty of these things. I've made a mess of my past. What do I do? I'm telling you right now, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Press toward the mark, toward the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that? Are you getting the vision of God? Do you see what kind of human being God wants you to be? If you're going to be playing around with the world and trying to be serious with God at the same time, you're going to meet with great resistance. To be an effective Christian, it's going to take everything you have. That's why Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What part of all does not mean all? And so he continues, he says, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Is there anything about that that's complicated? Is there a but somebody would like to put between God's word and their life? If you say, well, but you don't know my husband. Well, I don't have to know your husband. I know Jesus Christ. And if you know Jesus Christ, you will find out what it is he wants from you. You will do it, period. Christians have gone to the stake for other things. Why not for this too? I know. There's always some exception that seems to be a fair one. But if I say what it is, those who don't need or aren't fit for that exception, they'll grab onto it. That's human nature. A drowning man will grasp for a straw. I don't know how else to say these things. Titus chapter 2, verse 5 lays it out very clearly. If you cannot conform to that, I have nothing to add. Why don't we do a lot of counseling here at the church? Because the pulpit is the counselor. We say it from here. So we get in counseling. We have nothing new to say. We're going to say what we said here. That's why we don't do it. The word of God is our counselor. Wonderful counselor. The mighty God, the everlasting father, the prince of peace. We happen to believe that. Is there something wrong with that? Did I say something wrong? Is it something I said? When I preach as a pastor, I preach to me too. It forces me to go home and try to be an honorable husband and point out all the things my wife does wrong. Verse 24, therefore, because of all this, that is what that therefore is there for. It's because of all this, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Oh, it doesn't mean everything. You see, the Greek word means everything, but you don't have to believe that. You can change it. So if you take out your black marker and cross out everything and write something else there. Yeah, you see the folly of that, don't you? Have I lost you? Is someone here hating on me now for saying these things?
Oh, it's not what you said, it's how you said it.
Well, you know, we reject that because guilty is guilty. But you're not guilty to be humiliated. You're guilty to go to the throne, be cleansed, be strong, and change it. That's why. But so long as you want to pretend that your feelings are more important than your guilt, you will remain guilty. And there's nothing anyone can do. He talks about being subject to the church. Where do I start? Just take two verses. We don't have time. Hebrews chapter 13. They're both here. 7 and 17. Verse 7. Remember those who rule over you. And the word there in the Greek rule is rule. It's, of course, church order. Not your lives. We don't come over to your house and tell you what to cook for dinner, how to wear your hair, what kind of clothes to wear. But when it comes to the church and how we order the church, we rule over this as stewards. A steward is someone who manages someone else's property. This is God's property. We've been assigned a stewardship, and we have full authority in doing this. You find a church you don't like, you want to stay there and cause problems, no matter how wrong they are, you're worse. It's not your place. Get up and leave then. But don't stay there and cause a problem because you have not been given the place of authority. So he says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Then verse 17, he says, again, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy, not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. See, God's going to bring it up later. You know, I put these men in the church to conduct business, to preach my word, but you gave him a hard time. Yeah, if he was right or wrong, I'll deal with that, but now I'm dealing with you. You see how it works? We're supposed to live as though we are going to see Jesus, and we're going to give an account of how we served. If you take that accountability out of the way, then you have lawlessness. And if you have lawlessness, you have the chaos that Satan brought there in the Garden of Eden when Adam surrendered authority and mankind fell into sin. And then he turns his attention to the husbands in verse 25. He says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. You say, but. There it is. Men, you can have big butts too. You know, I just should not have said that. I meant B-U-T-T, but I could just see someone swig. Anyway, men can have, I can't think of an alternate right now. But we're going to have to stay with but. Men can put their but right in the way and say, but I have an excuse. I've got a reason. No, you don't. You're supposed to love your wife, but she doesn't look as good as she used to look. You're an idiot. I mean, there's no other way to deal with somebody that dumb. Just tell them what they are. Maybe they'll go, I am. And I don't like it. And I'm going to change it. You have no excuse. You are to love your wife. It's not just the romantic love. Ladies, if you like Mr. Darcy, you're being ripped off. He doesn't exist. Now you say, who's he? Well, I know for a while some of you were reading these romantic novels, and I talk with my daughter about this, and I don't talk to my wife about it because she thinks I'm Mr. Darcy. But no, she doesn't. Look, if you're looking for your husband to be the outcome of some romantic novel you've read, you're drastically, you're confused. We look to the scriptures. Here are where our heroes are. To find a wife like Abigail. Abigail's, her husband was a fool. Nabal. And man, she was a sharp woman. And instead of, you know, looking to get out of that marriage, she looked to save the home from David. And God dealt with Nabal. And she ended up with David. That's that story. That's just a beautiful. I can't wait to meet Abigail. She's just a great woman. We need to see this behavior in Christian women who understand their place. There, I said it. Their place in Christ. And if you think that's wrong, then you are a rebel. because you have a place. It's been assigned to you. You are equal in value to God. Man and woman, they are equal in value, but you are not equal in assignment. One has one assignment and the other has the other assignment. That's why he made them male and female, and they're not supposed to reverse roles. And it's despicable when you find a woman being masculine and a man being feminine. And this is what happened, and the man quits. Fine, I'm not going to argue with her. Yeah, then he becomes a honeydew. You know, honeydew this, honeydew that. That is not something that brings honor to God. Men, you stand your ground when you're head of the home and you are following Christ. And women, you stand your ground with the Lord and you follow your husbands and you let God bless your marriage, because marriage is something given by God. You say, but I didn't know what I was doing when I got married. But you know what you're doing now. And that's what matters. If I had a second chance. What do you know about second chances except you'd ruin that too, because you're a sinner and that's what we do. We're given one shot at many chances. We get one every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself. He died for the church. Husbands, would you take a bullet for your wife? You shouldn't even have to pause to think. And no humor at this point. Yes, I love my wife. I don't always like some of the things she does. Sometimes we disagree on things. But the bottom line, she's my companion. And we're rowing in the same direction. And we're unified. And you should never speak badly about your husband in public. And husbands, you should never speak badly about your wives. You have a problem with your husband? Tell God. You have a problem with your wife? Tell God. Why are you telling another human being? If God opens the door and you have some person in your life that can give you a little bit of advice, well, I don't want to say don't ever do that, but don't get in the habit of doing that. You've got to learn. Listen, a marriage is like a ship at sea. You are 911. If there's a fire on that ship, if it springs a leak, you're not going to get help. You've got to come up with a way to resolve this. That's what the marriage is supposed to be. Is there anything that I've said here that is not agreeable? You might not like it. The flesh hates it. The Spirit says, but I'm going to fight this. I don't have time to make the references from the Scripture except to say this. The first time we read of the word love in the Scripture is in the context of a father for his son. Yes, that is God the Father for Jesus Christ. It is also God the Father for us. The second time we read of the word love, and this is the second witness, is in the context of a man for his bride. When Isaac loved Rebekah. Very significant. The Bible again has this thing for understatement. After that, the word love begins to then transition into its various meanings. But the point has been made by God in the strength of two witnesses what love is all about. You young gals who want a husband one day. Well, you might want one now, but you've got to wait. Make sure he loves Jesus more than you. I don't mean a perverted, like, get out of the way, I'm studying the Bible. I don't mean something that's twisted and sick like that. I mean, he understands his priorities. He understands he's not going to let family love get in the way of his love for his maker. He's not going to let romantic love get in the way, career love, fondness for this or that. Jesus is first. He is central to his life. There's enough love to go around. Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. In other words, you can have a billion neighbors and you'll have no shortage of love for them, because that's how much we love ourselves. There's plenty to go around. So don't worry about a supply shortage. But when you're looking for a man who's one day going to be your husband, may he love the Lord your God. And may he love you. And may you be able to be friends first, blameless with each other, rowing in the same direction. And young men, same thing. You want a wife who loves Jesus more than you, who's going to be your friend, who is going to be blameless with you and not cause you to stumble into sin, because that is not being a helpmate. That is being a tool of the enemy. Trust God to bring you the person whom you're going to marry. Now, some of you say, well, I didn't do that. Now I'm married. Trust God to bless your marriage from this day forward. Be people under authority. The authority of God. Verse 26, he says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. I could spend an hour on this verse alone. That he might sanctify her and cleanse her, the washing of the water of the word. If you're not in the word, you're going to have marital problems as Christians. I guarantee you. I mean, look, yeah, there's a percentage. Unbelievers can be together and have a happy marriage, but rarely, but it happens. Christians can be together, not be in the word, not praying, and have a happy marriage. There's no boast there. But ideally speaking, to have a meaningful marriage and a happy marriage, you're both going to have to be in the word. If he is growing and you're not growing, there's going to be friction, or the other way around. If one of you are moving in one direction and the other is moving in the other, that's friction. Friction goes two objects moving against each other in opposite direction, or one not moving and the other one moving. That's friction. And so if one of you is in the Word of God and the other one is not, you're growing disproportionately, spiritually speaking. I'm not saying you're supposed to grow at the same rate, but you're supposed to both be in the Word. And one of the first questions we ask someone, no matter it's a marital problem or any other kind of problem, are you in the Word? Somebody gets assigned to usher duty and they're not showing up, demonstrating a lack of care usually. And when it's time for us to talk to them, we'll say, are you in your devotions? Are you walking with the Lord? Or are you doing your own thing? Because these things don't happen by just chance. There's a reason for the hope that is in us, and there's a reason when the hope is not in us. And you say, Pastor, I've done these things, and they don't work. And I would counter with, I bet you they did work, but you didn't keep the pace. You dropped out. You started doing these things. You noticed right away, yeah, there's some change in my life, but it's hard to keep this pace, and you slacked off. And then you ended right back where you started. Don't blame God's word. It's the way it is in this life for all of us. It is a battle. We're supposed to be battling to be in the image of Christ and not against what Christ has said. Verse 27. And I wish, again, I apologize on one hand. We have to get through the Ephesian letter. I don't want to chop this section up too much. Maybe we can do topicals at some point. But there's so much more here. Verse 27, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. This is the destiny of the body. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. A spot is a natural defect. A sin, the natural stain of sin. James tells us it comes from, we get spotted from the world. The world connects the dots to us. Our sinful nature connected to the sinful nature of others and what they're doing. A wrinkle is from time. Just exposure. Time being in this life, growing through life. Sin wears on us. It's not supposed to be victorious. And then a blemish. A blemish is something that we've picked up, that we've acquired along the way, a wound because of sin. Maybe it's the sin of another that has wounded us and changed us and is beginning to shape us into the image of something that's not Christ-like by making us bitter, even savage with one another. And Christ is going to present us one day as his bride without spot or wrinkle or blemish. Without interference, there will be no divorce. There will be no separation from our King with him forever. Revelation 21, verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride or adorned for her husband. This is whom we're supposed to be. You know what I like? My wife, you know, she just does things that make me happy. She goes shopping. She gets, I know you like these. And just sometimes I'm very humbled by this. It's like, you know, thank you. Wives, do you do those kind of things? Husbands, do you do those kind of things?
Sure, change her oil for her. She didn't even know it.
Well, good. You have to show kindness to one another and not second guess it. Not do something nice and sit back and wait to see what you get. Just do it because you love. You reap what you sow. You want to sow seeds of discord, you will reap the harvest of discord. Verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. There again, what Jesus thinks about the assembly. And there again, he's been stressing this. Men, love your wives. You say, I don't want to. You're a meathead. I mean, if you're saying you're a Christian and you're saying to Jesus, no, then he's not Lord. You can say yes, but you cannot. You can say no to Jesus anytime, but you can never say no, Lord. See, he's not Lord if you can tell him no. And so you better find out what that means. You'll find yourself, here's where you'll end up. Lord, you told me to love my wife. I'm not there. Help me get there. You see, that's the process of healing. Then it begins, the washing, the regeneration, because you've read it in the Word, you know what it says, and now you're doing it, and this is what you're going to find. If you are faithful to this, you will start loving your wife fresh. I don't care how old the marriage is, how much it's been through. If you take it to the Lord and you keep it there, God will bless it, because this is what He wants. Do you understand? It's what God wants. Yes, it takes two. Sometimes there are extraordinary circumstances where nothing is going to help it, but that is very rare, and I hate to say it. Because if there's a marriage here struggling, and usually in a church this size, there's always several marriages that are struggling. If you give them an out, they'll take it when they should not have taken it. They will apply the exception to themselves when they should not apply the exception to themselves. And as such, things don't change. Trust God. Makes destruction unnecessary. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We're locked in. You can't get away. Men, when you feed yourself, you're demonstrating that you nourish, you care for yourself, you cherish yourself. You must feed your wife also. Now, you got to work these things out. It's give and take. You've got to submit to each other. Sometimes she's going to want to eat a dish that you don't like and vice versa. Well, that's kind of not here nor there. There are bigger things in a marriage that make it work, but that is part of it too. Verse 31, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Psalm 45, verse 10, about, you know, when the bride walks down the aisle, she's saying goodbye to all the other relationships. That's the symbolism behind that. And oftentimes the wives get married, they do this, but they don't let go of those relationships. They let those relationships dictate to them or tell them how to live in their marriage. He says, listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also and your father's house. And then it goes on to speak about the marriage relationship with the king. And so that is the context of Psalm 45. Abandonment to each other. You can do this while maintaining relationships with each other. Verse 32, this is a great mystery I speak concerning Christ and the church. The church is a mystery. It's mystical, but it's not mythical. You understand that. It's deep. It goes beyond what we can grasp, though we can grasp much of it. It's mystical, not mythical. Verse 33, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Wives, you think if you're going to stop respecting your husband, your marriage is going to get better? You are lying to yourself. There's no other way to put it to you. You're wrong. You have to respect your husband. Husbands, you must respect each other. I want to read in closing a section from the marriage vows. Just a small section, especially for those of you who aren't married yet. Therefore, no one should enter this state of life unadvisedly, lightly, wantingly, but reverently, discreetly, advisedly, soberly, and in the fear of God, duly considering the causes for which matrimony was ordained. Very serious stuff. It has everything to do with your witness. You know, Peter says, if you want God to answer your prayers, you better make sure your marriage is working. God is very serious about marriage. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. If you do this in the Spirit of Christ, you will do well. But if you look to be insecure, paranoid, self-seeking, self-asserting, if the women look to be masculine and the men look to be feminine, it's not going to work. And we don't want to hear about it, because you've heard it from God. And if God can't wash and regenerate you from his word, what do you think we can do? We can root for you. We can pray for you. Listen, I'm more after those of you who haven't been married this morning. I want you to get it into your heads. It is one of the greatest decisions you'll make in your life. You need to treat it that way. You need to block out what the world says about marriage and hear only what God has to say about it. You need to block out what the world says about God and hear only what God has to say about it, or be seduced.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio today. Cross Reference is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. If you'd like more information about this ministry or want to listen to additional teachings from Pastor Rick, please visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll never have to miss a program. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. We hope you'll tune in again next time to join us as we continue our study through the book of Ephesians with Pastor Rick. That's right here on Cross Reference Radio.